Make me like Mary. I'll seek you in the morning. Teach me to tarry, to be dwelling in your glory.
It says in the song, it says, make us more like Mary. Sit at the feet of Jesus to want to be more like Mary instead of Martha. Paul, would you mind meeting me right here? There's this thing that we have, like a, let's call a similitude. It's like you take something from you take something that people would regularly do and then you put a spiritual emphasis to it. And usually when we go on trips, you buy something and you take it back home with you, and it signifies that thing that you took that trip. And some people collect spoons. I don't think you're that old that you collect spoons of states, even though you've been all over the world, and you have probably, your house is probably covered with stuff that you have from Germany or Czechoslovakia, from wherever, all these places and all. But I don't know if you're going to take anything back from Crane, but I know this. The Lord has told me to give you something. And it's this. When he told the 12, he says, you need to go from house to house and you need to give them peace. Give them my peace. And so when you go home, you're going to give them the peace of God. You're going to take the peace of God with you. And your wife is going to say, Paul, Max, my husband, there's a peace that's residing in you like I've never seen before. And you're going to bring it to your house. And it's going to be incredible. Because it's the peace of God. It's going to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And it's going to be glorious. And you're going to have this peace that's going to be like overwhelming. It's going to be just wonderful. And so in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to this man, that you're giving him exactly what he's called for. Your peace, not the peace of this world, not the peace from another place, but from the peace of God. And it comes from above. And so, Father, I thank you that miles don't stop you. It's not an obstacle. Because when you touch, you can touch from wherever. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've called his name. And you say, Paul, I love you. Paul, I love you. I've seen you. I've seen you when you've traveled. I've seen you when you're at home. I've seen you. And I've heard your cry. I've heard you talk. I've heard you when you've been with me. I've heard you when you've got up in the morning and had your coffee and you got ready to meet me. I've seen you and I've heard you. So, my peace I give you today to take back, to be in your home, and for you to live with. It's my peace. The Lord would say, it's my peace that you have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Eric has some things that God put in his heart last week, I guess, and wants to share that to begin with this morning. And so let's let the kids get where they're going, and let's pray. Father, we just love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that we can enter in to your very throne room by the blood of Christ and that alone, Father. Have your way here. Let your word do its work in us, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. I just want to thank God for the opportunity and the elders for letting me just share what the Lord put in my heart this throughout the week. And I'm going to be doing a brief summary of this study or this the Lord put in my heart is church led by the Holy Spirit. We're going to start in Acts chapter 1. And we're going to go all the way to chapter 10. There's going to be a couple of verses. So, Tom, hopefully you can keep up with me. The book of Acts is an introduction. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 starts with the church doesn't know how to wait on the Lord. He said, wait until the promise of the Father comes upon you. While they were waiting, they started debating. You know, they didn't know how to wait, and they didn't know how to name leaders. And that's in chapter 1. We're going to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift of the promise. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just for a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. He replied, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times, and they are not known, for you will receive power, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witness, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Here in Acts 1:5 is the empowering of the ministry of the promise. What is promised in Luke 24:40-49. The focus is the mission of believers that they cannot be accomplished without the supernatural Holy Spirit baptism, which was to follow. Okay, Acts chapter 2 is the birthday of the church. They are mocked, they are ridiculed, and they are irrelevant to their society at the time the Holy Spirit comes. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are running a little late to church, or prayer meeting. And, you know, they run across this poor man asking for money, not healing. And they respond, silver and gold we have none. The church has started. The ministry doesn't have money yet. So if you go to Acts chapter 2, I got ahead of myself. Well, they brought healing to this man. This man was asking for money and gold. What they offered him was something more. They brought divine healing immediately. So, hallelujah. This man was asking for silver and gold, and they both answered, we have none. The ministry doesn't have money, divine, the spirits. Immediately after the spirit outpouring of Pentecost, this man was healed. He started jumping up and down. He started proclaiming. He started glorifying God. Acts chapter 4. The promise was so good that they got to spend the night in jail. Peter and John, they preached so good. They got to spend a night in jail. Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the man of God. And because they only brought part of the money. We'll go to Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. And Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit. You kept some of the money for yourself. The property that was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. After selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you not do this thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but God. As soon as Ananias heard the words, he fell to the floor and died. And, you know, same thing with his wife. You know, She lied to the man of God. She lied to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit recognized that, you know, they lied, and they both fell down, and he died. Just imagine that. I'm not going to single out the new people here, but if he asks you, you know, hey, you know, what are you bringing to God? You know, but, you know, we do love you, and, you know, I'm just using it as a reference, but, you know, God is love. Acts chapter 6. The church was multiplying. The number of disciples were multiplying, but they were murmuring and discontent. You know, that just tells me more people, more problems. You know, Acts chapter 7. Stephen preaches such a great revival, they killed him. Acts chapter 8. Simon the sorcerer, seen by the laying of hands, people got the Holy Spirit. He's kind of hanging out in the church, but at the same time, he's there, he's not fully committed. Simon doesn't say, I want to have that power from above. Simon says, how much is that? Can I buy that? That means that there's corruption in the church already. Acts chapter 9. Saul's conversation with the Lord now becomes Paul, now who's about to be the 12th apostle. Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit as a result of Ananias receiving a vision, Ananias laying hands on him. Paul was the one who will bring the great gospel to the Gentiles, and that's the main reason that you and I know about Jesus. Before that, when the people heard that, you know, that Saul got saved, they probably said, you know, no way, the same blood of Jesus that cleaned us cleaned Saul. And now we have a church full of legalism. Now they're judging people, salvation, judging who's more sanctified, who's more holy. This has been going on for more than 2,000 years. Acts 10. Jesus tells Peter to go and preach to Cornelius' house. Peter was perplexed. So now, what I see is you have segregation and racism, and it is only the 10th chapter. And it doesn't get better. They're having such a great revival, they have people sitting in the windows. Young people sitting in the windows, church, so boring and irrelevant to their society that young people are falling asleep at the windows and they drop dead. So, I read up to chapter 10, and that was when I texted Jimmy and Arthur. I was in 1 Corinthians, and the Lord has a way to change things around. He brought me back to Acts. So I started praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me. You know, and I was like, Lord, what, 10 chapters, and you know, I already see all this, you know, but the Lord put on my heart to go back and read it again and really study it and really let the Holy Spirit guide me. You know, like, you know, Paul's going to preach to Rome, and, you know, and it ends in a shipwreck, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because in chapter 1, the promise, you know, comes with the promise of the Father. Chapter 2 is the fulfillment of the promise of the Father. Chapter 3 is miracles. Chapter 4, mass evangelization. Chapter 5, mass miracles. Chapter 6, multiplication and abundance. Chapter 7, mass evangelization. Chapter 8, demonstration of power. Chapter 9, now the Gentiles are about to receive the gift. In chapter 10, now the kingdom of God is advancing. What I really got out of this is, you know, and you keep on going through every chapter in Acts. Each chapter has its own problems, its own trials. Every, you know, has its own drama. But also every chapter has a touch of God. It also has signs and miracles and wonders. You know, and that honestly encourages me today. That really encourages me today to bring this, what the Lord put in my heart, just in this 10 chapters. You know, I can see great signs and miracles in this body. and wonders. You know, even though that the enemy has, you know, has tried to raise against us and try to and hell and but you know, I look at the chapters of this place. I see signs, I see miracles and wonders, I see abundance, I see multiplication. I can truly say that I have been blessed. I don't have a testimony. I have testimonies per pearl of the goodness and the victory of living God. And you know, that's what the Lord put in my heart to share with y'all. And I pray that this blesses someone. And you know, read through Acts chapter 1 through 10. See what the Lord reveals to you. And I just thank God for this opportunity.
Thank you. Can I add something to that?
Absolutely.
You know, in the book of Acts is all about the building of the new testimony church, the new church, right?
And so, in the New Testament, if you look, all of the chapters in the Bible end with glory to God and Jesus Christ, amen, except for the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the only book in the New Testament that doesn't end that way, because the new book of Acts is still happening today, because it's all about building the New Testament church, and that's still happening today. And so that is the only book in the New Testament that does not end with glory to God, Jesus Christ, amen. And that's the only book. So I appreciate you sharing that with us, but I wanted to add that to it. People don't think the book of Acts is happening today.
Amen. Because the acts of God are still happening today, right? That's right. Let me tell you some encouragement from my standpoint, from me looking out there, and from the Word of God being preached by not just me. Joseph Julin came up and preached about the Holy Spirit and what he said. And, you know, I read, I wasn't here, but I listened to the podcast. And I was in a parking lot in Illinois. I got up and was just by myself and listening. And I was early, like 7:30, no traffic, in the parking lot all by myself. But I'm, you know, there were certain people going to work, and they probably thought, that guy's crazy. I'm going, yeah! You know, as demonstrative as I am, and I was just going, it was just... He just said things so well, so much better than I could have. I'm going, that's the Lord. That's the body of Christ. That's utilizing what God has available to him. And then Jimmy brings his. Eric's bringing his. I love this. I love that. I love that the body of Christ is totally utilized in the work that is meant for the body of Christ. You know, when I go to work, or when I worked at the credit union, my hand, it wasn't just my hand that went to work. My whole body went to work, you know. Every part of me went to work. And every part of me was utilized to do the work. And that's how it should be here, you know. And every part of us, you know, the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. You know, so it's just very encouraging to me. And it should be encouraging to all of you. To be able to see the unity of us, all of us going in the same direction. Okay? And so Turn to James 1:22. James 1:22. Tom, you got it up there? Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. A.W. Tozer says, prayer will become effective when we stop using it as substitute for obedience. Prayer will become effective when we stop using it as a substitute for obedience. Let me tell you what, we are an aspirin society. All we want is to get rid of the headache. All we want is a pain reliever. And so we come to the Lord and say, oh my gosh, get rid of the headache. Get rid of my problem. Get rid of something that is causing me to feel this way. And so we go to the Lord and we go to prayer and we say, God, this is a problem. I'm hurting. This is not good. And so God, in His gracious, merciful self, comes and He intervenes on your behalf. And all of a sudden, the peace and His comfort comes on you. And you breathe. And you take that, oh, thank you, God. Thank you so much. And you don't feel that burdened heart of whatever the circumstance may be. But the next day you go right back to the same thing that you were doing. So the presence of the Lord brings relief just automatically, just because He's there, just because of who He is, just because of His greatness, just because of... But there's no change. You see, sometimes we substitute prayer for obedience. Because when He talks, when He speaks, He's going to give you some instruction. He's going to give you the Word. You see, there's Rhema and there's Logos. There is the Logos Word. And He never departs from it. He doesn't give you extra Word. He says the Word will increase. He will give you more of the knowledge of the Word. And there's Rhema. There's going, oh man, that's what that means. There's revelation of the Word. And He's going to fill you with how to apply the Word. But unless there's action, faith without, come on, somebody, without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead. Now, here is the breakdown. Here is where the church and religion has really messed up. And I'm telling you, we've really messed up. It's where we have tried to do the works by the flesh. We have tried and tried and tried to do by my own flesh. I've tried to do it myself, and I've worked and I've worked and I've worked, and I'm so flustered because I haven't accomplished anything. And He says, no, you've got to work by what? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit to live and to breathe and to work in the way that He wants us to do. You see, we so concerned ourselves by the what. Oh man, He told us what to do. And I need to go out there and get it done. And we didn't have enough patience to wait around for the how. So how do you want us to do it? sometimes the how is so much more important than the what. Love this woman. Okay, Sharon, I'm going to love you. And she's going, interpretation. That's not love. You may have said the words, but that's not love. You know? Interpretation. So God's going, lay down your life like Jesus laid down his life for his bride. You should lay down your life for the what? Love your wife. How? Like Jesus loved the church. Oh, I think that hit a chord in here. How about y'all? Huh? I think some of y'all are going, listen to the man. Realize that this, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving. We deceive ourselves by that very thing. Because if we live by the Spirit, we're not deceiving ourselves by our own flesh, by our own interpretations. There's something in Hebrews talking about living by the flesh. I'm not going to go into that right now. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I usually like to read out of the Amplified, but Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. The interpretation there is better than the Amplified. In King James it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In the Amplified it says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. And so, One depiction says they were all assembled in one place, basically saying everybody was in the same place. But in the King James, it says they were all in one accord. And the interpretation, then one accord, actually means they were of one mind. They were all centered on one single thing. And that was, Jesus told them to go do something, and they were all there ready to do that one thing that they said. You see, that is hugely, I don't even know if that's a word, but it's a good one. It's hugely important that we come to this place in one accord. That we come to this place not with our own agendas, not with my agenda, not with Jimmy's agenda, but with one agenda, and that would be to glorify God and to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's it. So if God says, we're not singing a song, we're not going to sing that song. If we don't preach, then we don't preach, if that's what He says. If He says stop, then we stop. If He says go, then we go. We are at His direction. We serve. I love this. They say this at the White House. I serve at the pleasure of the president. Well, I like to say I serve at the pleasure of the king. I serve at the pleasure of the king. You should serve at the pleasure of your king. Of your father, of your master. We are servants of the Almighty God. Know that. Believe that. That's an everyday thing. You wake up, you serve at the pleasure of your Father, knowing that today my steps are ordered of the Lord. What do you want to do, God? What do you want me to say? What and where and how do you want me to walk out this day? They were of one accord. We need to come this day ready to do that. We need to be here ready, our hearts willing. We need to have already prayed up before we ever hit those doors to come in saying, God, when I come, I want to come in one person and I want to leave another. That's how we should come in this place, ready to be, to hear the Word of God and to be changed by it so that I can go out there and be strengthened to live a life for God. That's, I'm telling you, because I believe this, and I think you believe it too, and it's this. When you go out this week, you have an enemy. You have an enemy. His name is Satan. And his name is your flesh. And his name is whoever you want it to be. But the reality, he's working against you. And whatever it may be, that thing is going to cause you problems. And you need the Holy Spirit to help you through this. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't have Him at your beck and call, then you're trying to fight this enemy by your own flesh. And you may be able to hold him off for a while, but if Satan can't make you bad, he's going to make you tired. He's going to make you, golly, I'm weary. I'm just so weary. I'm tired all the time. Well, let me tell you what, you're fighting your enemy by your own flesh. Because tell me what the fruits of the Spirit are. Well, you can look them up. And if you're not, if you don't look that way, if you don't look what those fruits of the Spirit are, can you tell me that is what's coming out of you? Is that what exudes out of your pores? Love, goodness, kindness? Is that it? I love the way Jimmy says it. And Jimmy told us, Rick, where's that? Rick and I had a good session this week. There you go, buddy. Galatians chapter 5, starting at the verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. Okay? That's the fruit of the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, everybody say yes.
Yes.
All right, there you go. Let's acknowledge what God says. All right. Now, what Jimmy said, which is a great practical application. Remember, he's a teacher. It's a great practical. If we were to put a colon behind love, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, colon, and then these are the demonstrations of what love is. Love is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Next scripture. Meekness, temperance. Against such thing there is no law. Look, what if you looked at it that way? What if you saw that way? And all of a sudden, you come into this place where the fruit of the Spirit is love. And those things should be coming out of you This should be the characteristic. This should be your character. And all of a sudden you're going, well, I don't look like that. I don't look like what this says. Then what needs to happen? Well, there needs to be some repentance. Repentance, bad word. No, it's a good word. It's a good word because what you're saying is, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life and the characteristics of Him and of Him in me. So, Psalms 121:1. Got a lot to cover here. Psalms 121:1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. David's going looking for help. How many of us have done this? I mean, I have. I've been in a place. I've been in the valley. I've been in places where I'm going, I don't know. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Where is my help coming? Going to come from? I lift up my eyes. I don't always pray with my eyes closed, do y'all? Especially depends on who I'm praying with. I have a funny story, but I'm not going to tell it right now. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which my help comes from. What does the Word call the Holy Spirit? I will send a helper. I will send someone to help you. I will lift up my eyes. The Holy Spirit is here to activate you, to be a doer of the Word that He is helping you with, to come alongside you, to be able. It's as good as this. Sometimes you may not need that. I mean, isn't that cool? Hope you don't mind I used your thing as a prop. Sharon had one of those. She don't use it anymore. Why? Because her knee doesn't hurt her anymore. Where does my help come from? If we don't realize it, if we don't utilize it, if we don't see the activation of our faith, we cease to be doers of the Word. And all we have done is just pray to get the aspirin effect of get rid of my pain. You don't know how many times I have dealt with crisis Christians. They're just crisis. I'm in trouble. I need help. Get me out of this. Okay, I'll tell you. Okay. Oh, I feel better. And they come back the next time. Did you do what I told you? No. What's going to happen now? I'm telling you what. God is merciful, but He'll only take it for so long. You're going to need to be a disciple of Christ and move on with Christ. You see, we're coming to a day and age where your life is going to have to be more in tune with God and His discernment of things is going to have to be in tune if you're going to survive some things in life. or you're going to become bitter. You're going to become hateful. And you're going to give up on God and on each other. That's why unity is so important. Unity is so important. And I'm not talking about unity as in, you know, I want to make sure that Jeanette, give me your hand. She's never mad at me. She's just never mad. That's unity. No, it's not. It's not peace at all cost. It's never peace at all cost. It's as if she's messing up, I need to be able to get right with the Word of God. Because that's where we unite.
That's right.
Unite with the Word of God. Unite in that Word. Because I can't bring peace to her.
Right.
Only God can. Only God can bring peace to her. I can't tickle her ears. I can't sugarcoat the gospel. I can't do any of that. Why? Because it'll do her no good. She's going to get cavities. Just won't do her any good. Turn to Ephesians 3. This, Paul does an amazing job here in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He was put in prison, and he's saying, the reason I'm in prison is because of you. Now, he says he's the prisoner of Jesus. Now, he's really saying I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ because he's saying Jesus told me to do something, so Jesus, whatever Jesus told me to do and whatever the consequences, it doesn't matter. I'm a prisoner, okay? If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, what he's saying is, I'm coming to give you the gospel. And it wasn't given to you before. And this is a major deal to give you the gospel. And I'm coming to give you understanding. And you weren't supposed to have understanding about this because you're Gentiles. Okay? Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it known now revealed unto holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So he said, you Gentiles, you're going to get to be a part of us. That's a wonderful thing. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift. This is important. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I want you to understand this. Paul was not working by his own flesh. He was not working by his own, okay, I've just decided I'm going to be a Gentile disciple maker. He just woke up one day and said that. No, God gave him a commission. God gave him something to say, I'm going to go do it. And then he was given an anointing, a gift to go do that. I'm telling you right now, you also have that same gifting. That wherever God has placed you, he has given you an anointing to be sent out into the world to do what he wants you to do in that place. Well, where is that place? Wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. Well, what am I supposed to say? That's what you need to find out. That's what God is wanting to tell you. That is what God is wanting to impart to you and say, hey, I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to say this to somebody. Because, let's keep reading. I'm telling you, this is some good stuff right here. Verse 8. Unto me, who I am less than the least of all the saints, is the grace, another word for grace is power. When given the power given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's not saying Peter has it. He's not saying Luke has it. He's not saying James has it. He says, I've been given that grace. You have been given that grace to wherever you're at. I haven't been given the grace to do that. That's what church and laity split, the priest and laity split. We have been given. Tom. Tom never does this. He does it himself. I'll tell you that right now. But let's say Tom. Tom meets somebody. He goes, Arthur, would you mind talking to this person and give them the gospel? Why are you coming to me, Tom? Well, I don't know the gospel. Then you should learn the gospel. The gospel you accepted and saved you is the same gospel that you should teach that person to be saved also. Well, I'm not that good a talker. Then you need to be a good talker. There are no excuses. That's what I'm saying. Because the very person that has endeared them to you is the very same thing that Jesus, they have endeared them to the Jesus in you. Do you get it? They don't know me. But they know Tom. And they have seen him. And they've seen his work. And they've seen who he is. And they've seen his character. And they've seen his goodness. And they've seen the thing that Jesus has worked in him. And what all he has to do is go, do you know Jesus? And I'll tell you what, man. Tom, he has evangelized. He has told people about God. And about Jesus. He's not shy about it. And he's been able to tell people. Well, why? Because he's saved? Is he employed by the church? No. Does he have to be? No. It doesn't say anywhere in here that you have to be employed by the church to save anybody. This is the Great Commission by everyone. To go and save souls. Everybody must be telling everybody about Jesus. The book says, the fields are white unto harvest. Crane is white unto harvest. How do we know that? Because the book says. I don't have to give you statistics. The book says it's white unto harvest. There's people out there that need hope. Y'all know that. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To make. Now, this was the anointing of Paul. He's going, this was my anointing to go to a whole nation, to go to a whole race of people. This isn't your anointing. You're not to go to a whole race of people. You need to go to all the Mexicans, Rick, and tell them about Jesus. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you need to do your part where you're at. That's it. That's it. Don't go beyond. Don't do any less. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Oh my gosh, how wonderful is that? Have you ever talked to somebody and all of a sudden the wisdom of God came to them? I'm telling you, it happened this morning. I believe that happened this morning. I was praying with Anthony, and all of a sudden, he's going, man, I needed that. I'm going, some revelation just dropped on that man. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit just dropped on me. He goes, man, I needed that. It was some Holy Spirit stuff. I loved it. I loved it. When the light bulb goes off, oh, man. Jesus did something. The manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, got to have some boldness, which we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore, I desire that we faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He goes, okay, I'm in prison. Big deal. Big whoopee deal. He goes, don't faint because I'm in prison. It's no big deal. I've been in prison before. You know, I'm not dead. You know, but if I die, if I did die, you know, it'd be okay. I'd be with Him. Okay. This next part is great. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might, to be strengthened with might, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Remember what love was? All of those characteristics. You be rooted and all of those characteristics be in you. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know that the love of Christ which passes understanding, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness of God. What does that look like? Walking in His power, walking in His knowledge, walking there. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Remember, ask, don't forget to ask. According to the power that works in us, the Holy Spirit. Unto Him be glory in the church of God, Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And if that doesn't encourage you, if that doesn't make you want to get up and go do something for God, I don't know what would. You got the promise. Test it. Test him. And let him show you. I can do more than what you can even think or ask. So tomorrow, this afternoon, get up and go, I don't know, but let's try.
Last week, I think it was Thursday, I got this quote. I've never heard before. At least I don't remember it. And it was by Plutarch. It says, the wildest colts make the best of horses. And that was weird. Like I said, I never had it before. I've never read it, never even seen it. And so I was like, okay, that's weird. So I prayed about it a little bit. And I think it was a call from God. I think God gave it to me to go out to the out to people who are kind of wild stars, I guess you could say, and show them. And like you were saying, and I think earlier when you were telling that we need to go to these people, we need to bring them. I think that was just confirmation. I think it was just a call from God to bring these people in because they can be the best of servants. And
that's right.
I think we should do that. And I just want to share that with y'all. So even the wildest people can be the best servants.
Everybody comes with something. Thank God.
Amen.
I appreciate it. I just want to, before I go on to some business I've got to take care of this morning, I just want to point out the word in one accord, that word that you pointed out being a better translation. That word, try to pronounce it in Greek, hamathumadan. It's two words put together, and it can mean to rush along in unison. Another way of putting it is having a harmonious outburst of passion. That suits some of what we witness and what we practice sometimes, but rushing along in unison. Let's do that. Okay?